Welcome to Nerds Amalgamated, a podcast that covers the latest events in science, pop culture, and gaming.
I'm the professor, aspiring game developer, sci-fi aficionado, and completely and undeniably a geek trying to take over the world. I'll be breaking down the news from tech to gaming.
I am the DJ, a humble nerd, a big weeb, and a watcher from the halls of the multiverse. Just kidding. Anyways, I'll be breaking down all things comics to movies to anime.
Join us and stay hydrated as we quench you with witty banter, unintentionally hilarious hot takes, and trivia more fun than a night at the pub, courtesy of Nerds Amalgamated. Welcome back to Nerds Amalgamated. We've got another great show for you this week, starting with a few updates on some recent topics, Yuzu vs. Nintendo, Ross Scott's war against Ubisoft for deleting The Crew, some live service game fails, the impact of executives on art forms, and how babies are losing words because they watch TV.
No, I'm not crying for the babies. I'm just crying on what happened just recently.
Go on.
Oh, I cannot believe it. It's 2024, and I cannot believe it that Akira Toriyama has passed away. I cannot believe it. Hey, Professor, you know how you were talking about the seven stages of grief?
Yeah, there's 12 of them, but go on.
So it's 12. Oh, damn. Okay, so I think I'm in the grief stage of... I think I'm in the first stage of grief. I cannot believe it. Akira Toriyama has passed away. I cannot believe it. I'm angry as hell.
Well, you'll find that anger is the second stage of grief, so you're on your way through.
I cannot believe it. They announced this news so suddenly. I mean,
how else would you expect them to do it? They're not going to release a bloody trailer to his funeral.
I'm reading the details about it. They said like he died on the 1st of March, and I was like, whoa, you released this now? Jeez.
It's not uncommon to take a few days.
Yeah, I'm just reading the cause of death was an acute subdural hematoma, the studio said. Wow, I cannot believe it, man. I cannot believe it. The man that introduced anime to the world, essentially, has passed away.
Citation needed. I'm not dissing him, but did he really introduce anime to the world?
Well, to the Western world, maybe.
To the Western world, even?
Hey, Dragon Ball Z was one of the first animes that was introduced to the West. Is it not? But I will say this, his legacy is going to go on and on and on, even after his death. Gosh, now I want to watch some Dragon Ball Z episodes now.
All right, I've done some research and it looks like it barely beat out Pokemon.
Oh, damn.
But I'd say Pokemon did a much better job of introducing anime to the world.
Okay,
being that Pokemon is literally the world's highest grossing media franchise and Dragon Ball is some show weebs like you watch.
Hey, come on. Okay, come on. Kamehameha beats Thundershock anytime, okay? Kamehameha beats Thundershock anytime.
You're wrong, but go off. Considering some Pokemon are literally God, and they can be captured and tamed by a 10-year-old, who then uses them to fight other Pokemon, there's going to be Pokemon moves that are more powerful than a Kamehameha.
Stop the cap on that one. I call a cap on that one.
Anyway, are you with me or do you need to go and have your little pity party somewhere else?
All right, I'll have my pity party later. Let's get on with the show.
So, a quick update from last week regarding the Yuzu versus Nintendo case. Yuzu settled and are paying Nintendo $2.4 million.
Wait, what?
Yep, they've agreed to make a payment of $2.4 million to Nintendo.
God.
And delete everything to do with Yuzu.
God.
So you might have noticed it was suddenly taken off the internet a couple of days ago. This is why.
God Damn, they were quick. Wait, what? Okay, what? We were talking about this at length the other episode, and we were saying how Nintendo will beat out in the game of attrition, but I did not anticipate this quick.
Well, it's a settlement, so it means they never actually went to court about it. It's just a basically a way to avoid going to court, avoid having an actual judgment made, and then having to deal with lawyer fees, any damages, etc. Because Nintendo claimed that Tears of the Kingdom alone was pirated a million times before its release. So if we assume that Nintendo wanted to sue Yuzu for the full amount of damages, they've gotten off with less than $3 per copy of that was allegedly pirated. So I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not entirely sure how they would calculate damages in court, but that feels like a good rule of thumb for me, that you'd start with the amount of money lost. Consider that these games sell for $80 to $100. It's the best case outcome for Yuzu. Now, unfortunately, there was shared development of Citra, which was a 3DS emulator, and that has also been taken down, even though it wasn't directly sued by Nintendo. Fortunately, it doesn't seem like the chilling effect has spread far yet, and most other emulators that I've checked are still continuing development.
But this, but when the decision came out, from what I've seen, it was a very, very, very acute message. From what I've seen, like, people were like, "Oh my gosh, this cannot believe Yuzu folded this quickly. Oh my gosh, we should abandon all hope of Nintendo and Yuzu. They sold us out." That kind of thing. That's what I've seen in some of the social media activity.
Well, those people were frankly idiots, because I can't imagine any of them putting up the millions of dollars it would take to fight Nintendo.
But it does, okay, but it does send a message, though, nonetheless, that, hey, if Yuzu folds like this, your emulator can also fold like that. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, that's the chilling effect that I was talking about.
Yeah, and what's also going to be interesting is I've also seen a couple of, Nuzu? The N-U-Z in Nuzu emulators as well, like a couple of
people. Yeah, don't say that too loud. We don't want Nintendo cracking down on that too.
Oh, crap.
But because it was open source, anyone who's downloaded a copy of the code can upload it again.
Oh, damn.
And it's whack-a-mole.
Oh, damn.
So we'll see whether any of these new projects get off the ground. Next up, we have the first shots in the war against Ubisoft deleting games. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about Ross Scott planning a lawsuit, a class action against Ubisoft for shutting down the game The Crew, which is an open-world racing game, has one of the biggest maps of any game out there, and because of the DRM and server tie-in aspect of it, at the beginning of April, it will be delisted and completely gone. No one will ever be able to play again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, unfortunately, what he's found out is that in the US, he has literally no leg to stand on.
Oh.
He spoke to a lawyer who started off doing some research and was like, "Yeah, I'll give you a good rate and do some of this pro bono." And then the lawyer came back to him a few days later and said, "Actually, this doesn't work because of this case and this case and this case." And it's unfortunately not feasible to go after them in the US. But he is putting out a rallying call for people in other countries. I've linked the video in the show notes to his latest update. It's a 40-minute video, but you can skip to the section that applies to your country. What he wants now is for everyone to begin bugging Ubisoft.
Oh. And
yep, he wants us all, everyone who owns a copy of The Crew, to begin sending in tech support tickets asking how they can continue playing the game once it's shut down.
You reckon it'll work out, though? I mean, that's a lot of people to play the crew in playing The Crew.
Well, the video came out on the 25th of February, so a bit over a week ago, and has almost 100,000 views, but he is contacting other YouTubers to boost the message. And he's looking into cases in France and Australia, where we have quite strong consumer protection, to basically see if he can find a leg to stand on there.
Okay.
So what he's doing now is preparing a website that will have instructions on how to contact the consumer protection agencies and bureaus of the world, so that when the time comes, everyone can contact their own country and make a complaint.
Have we heard anything from Ubisoft in regards to this lawsuit, in a sense?
No, actually, they haven't made any statements about it. The suit hasn't been filed yet, so I imagine that once it actually happens, they will make a statement. But I'm excited to see where this goes, because whatever happens, it's going to be interesting. And on to my main topic for this week, even more live service game fails.
Oh, boy.
So The Crew is a live service game, and it being shut down, it will be taken away. Another one that's just made an announcement that they will be shutting down in the indefinite future is Temtem, who have decided to disable monetization and don't seem to be making any promises on keeping the game continued.
So, I'm not familiar with the game Temtem. It sounds like you might be familiar with it. So what is Temtem in general?
I haven't played it, but it is a Pokemon knockoff focused on the PvP aspect. So that's why they're worried about servers. It's multiplayer focused. So whereas the mainline Pokemon games are single player focused.
Yeah.
So their goal with creating Temtem was to create a multiplayer turn-based battle game that would fill that niche.
It sounded good on the way you say it, it sounds good on paper.
Well, you'll be able to check it out now because the monetization will be turned off. So every item in the game will be available for in-game currency. But at the same time, I am concerned now that that means that the game is on its way out, that in the next few months or a year or maybe 2 years, they will announce that the game will shut down and then you'll lose access to it.
Yeah.
When it would be really reasonably easy for them to develop a server for players to use to host their own battles.
I mean, once you take out the monetization aspect, then that's the sign, yeah, this game is on its way out anyway. The writing's on the wall.
Yeah, a lot of games will do that just before they shut down.
And the crazy part is, like, this was a live service game as well, like, same with The Crew as well. And you would think, like, yeah, with the concept like this, as a live service aspect, it would continue to thrive on for years and years and years.
It very well could, but it seems that the Temtem devs weren't able to make it work.
What was their biggest failure? Like, no, actually, not the biggest failure. What was the biggest barrier to their success?
I think that it's the lack of new content. They basically decided never to release new content for the game. Now, we see every year or so a new Pokemon game. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Temtem needs to keep up that kind of cadence, especially as a smaller team. As I understand it, Pokemon is big enough that they have two separate teams working on games and then alternate which team releases each year. So each game takes about 2 years to develop. They could produce smaller content, though. And they've decided that, yeah, it's not worth it for them to create content because players are going to play through it too soon. And it doesn't make any sense to me because what they say is that they're not going to release content that takes 9 months to make if players are going to get through it in a few hours. Like, yeah, that's how it works.
That's the weird part, like, when it comes to content, like,
it's
a long, long process to get the to make the content and get it reviewed. And, like, content creation in gaming, it's not an easy process, as you just said.
Yeah, so adding new content to the game, I think, would have extended its lifespan. They say that during early access, they noticed that many players would finish a new area that they added, then quit the game until the next area was added. So in that case, they could sell each area as its own mini DLC But I just think it's silly to say, yeah, it's going to take us longer than it takes to play through the game for us to make the game. That's literally how all art works. Does an author say no because it took them, it's going to take them 3 years to write a book that someone will read in 10 hours? Does a movie get cancelled because it's going to take them a year to make a movie that will be watched in 2 hours? Of course your content is going to be faster to consume than it is to make. I mean, it's not even just content. It takes longer to cook dinner than it does to eat it. Does that mean you're going to starve to death?
It's like they want like their content to be ever, to be hard as hell. Like, but that sounds like they didn't think of any content interesting enough to make it get consumed that quickly. Like, if you want content to be long and enjoyable, it has to be interesting. Like with dinner, for example, the dinner has to be more than just a looks pretty. It has to taste well. It has to be.
Yeah, it's possible that maybe their creativity dried up and they just couldn't come up with enough new content. So they were just like, yeah, screw it. We're never going to do anything with this again. But we'll see what happens. I hope that they do the right thing and release the servers to the players and allow the new players to, well, allow players to create mods for the game. You will also find, though, that Warner Brothers has announced that they are going all in on live service games.
Oh, come on. Really? Warner Brothers? Really?
Yeah, the company that seems to think that if you make nothing, you can't possibly lose money.
Ah, oh, jeez.
No, it's not even if you make nothing. It's if you release nothing, because they keep making things and not releasing it. Give me Snowpiercer Season 4, damn it!
Sounds like you're on your stages of grief.
Oh, yeah, it's only been like 18 months since the last season. And they didn't officially cancel it. They just never released the last season. And then the cast and crew were like, by the way, we made the whole season. It's ready to go.
Yeah, okay, but with Warner Brothers and live service games, I mean, that's a... Yeah, Warner Brothers, really? They want to pull that off?
Yeah, I'm not sure they can. Live service and mobile games, they're not going to be making anything particularly amazing.
I mean, what was their last live service game? Oh, wait, it was Suicide Squad Killing the Justice League. And how terrible was that game again?
Not great. I have heard many things about that game, and none of them are good.
Me too. Even Skill Up decided that, yeah, he had enough of that game. But I feel like the Warner Brothers taking this game idea is just a way of saying, okay, we're running out of money, so let's use live action and mobile games because that's the next best thing.
Yep, they seem to think that live service, you meant to say,
yeah,
is going to be the future. And that's a red flag to me, because live action and now look what you've done to me. I'm catching your stupidity.
Yes.
Live service and mobile games aren't exactly the highest quality, and they tend to have monetization to the eyeballs. And I bet I know who to blame. It's the executives. Come on, DJ, tell me about your hatred of executives.
So, you've seen Madam Web, right, Professor?
I haven't. It's very not good.
So, I've never seen Madam Web, but I've seen a lot of people really, really pissed off about that movie. They're so pissed off that their star actress for that movie, Dakota Johnson, has recently, on Bustle, came out with an interview, and she said some interesting things about other stuff. And when she was asked the question about Madam Web, she said some interesting things about it, such as, see, where can I find it? Damn it.
Come on, you've had all week to get your notes ready.
Yeah. Okay. So she was asked about Madame Web, and she was asked this thing. Well, is there a reason for people to write nasty reviews of Madame Web? This is what she said. It's so hard to get movies made, and this in these big movies that get made, it's even starting to happen with the little ones, which is what's really freaking me out. Decisions being made by committees, and art does not do well when it's made by committee. Films made by a filmmaker and a team of artists around them. You cannot make art based on numbers and algorithm. My feeling has been for the longest time that the audiences are extremely smart and executives have started to believe that they're not. Audiences will be able to sniff out bullshit. Even if films start to be made with AI, humans aren't going to fucking want to see those. That's one aspect of it, she said. And I agree with the sentiment.
You know what I think the problem is?
What's that?
It's that movies and games are too expensive these days. They dump so much money into making something massive that for it to get money, it has to pull in literally everyone.
But here's the thing with Dakota Johnson's quote. Okay, here's what befuddles me about this. You say this while being in Madame Web.
It's not her fault that the movie was terrible.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can understand that, since I did hear something where apparently when the movie came out, Dakota Johnson fired her agent as soon as it came out, apparently. But that being said, okay. Irregardless, she is right in terms of how movies have become so corporate. Entertainment has become so corporatized, they rely on numbers and algorithms and metrics to the point where the executives have kind of lost their touch with the common man. That's why most movies nowadays you see are just like, okay, we want to insert what's currently happening in the modern world into the movie because the executives said so. And sadly, the writers are always getting caught with that demand. I sound like a concerned citizen. That's the one.
Yeah. So my point that they have to draw in literally everyone, they have to make sure that what they make is the blandest, most inoffensive product possible. Because if you make something that's actually got a bit of spice to it, no one will want to come and. Not everyone will want to come and see it.
Yeah.
You're trying to appeal to the lowest common denominator.
And my favorite example would be the unnamed The Superman movie before the one with Tim Burton was supposed to direct, Superman Returns, the one with Nicolas Cage as Superman. And some of the insane demands some of the executives made, like... they wanted an R2-D2 type robot in it, if I recall.
Okay.
Hang a second. It was a shit show of a movie. It wasn't Superman Returns. It was Superman Reborn. I think it was Reborn, but Superman Lives. There we go.
Okay, well, it's got Nicolas Cage attached to it, so we know that's going to be a beautiful disaster no matter what happens.
Like apparently the executives were saying like, oh, they want to have a spider-like creature as the final boss of the movie. And I'm like, oh, that's disgusting.
Is it? What's wrong with spiders?
They are disgusting. I hate spiders.
I'm gonna make a note of that.
Here we go. They according to writer Kevin Smith, John Peters, the executive, by the way, did not want Superman to fly or wear his red and blue costume, and he wanted Superman to fight a giant spider for the finale. When Peters was questioned in an interview about it, he initially denied the claim, saying they were false, but later said the giant spider finale was true and would have been an amazing sequence. Peters okay. also...
Oh, that sorry. Sounds like the kind of disaster that the Gladiator 2 script by Nick Cave would be.
It continues. Peters also stated that he wanted to make a Superman movie that has not been done before, and had chosen Nicolas Cage as Superman because he did not want someone pink and someone for the street.
Okay.
Peters,
I'm not sure what that means, but okay.
I have no idea either. This is John Peters. This is executives. I don't know executive talk. Interestingly, Peters would go on to produce Wild Wild West, the Will Smith movie, mind you, which featured a giant mechanical spider in its finale.
He's got a thing for spiders.
Also, interestingly enough, with the Wild Wild West movie, that movie was one of the worst movies people have ever seen.
Okay.
That being said, though, it's at this point now, like, executives are making these stupid decisions, and companies have to, unfortunately, bear the brunt of it in getting these stupid decisions, and have to do it unwillingly. They're forced to do it. Like, what happened recently, like, with one of the studios, Rooster Teeth, for example, they've been unceremoniously, they're marching orders.
I'm not sure that is so much executive meddling as they kind of lost most of their great talent. Everyone just sort of moved on.
Oh, yeah. But that being said, with Rooster Teeth, I mean, it's sad to see Rooster Teeth go, but I feel like with them, it's a case of the executives at Warner Brothers shutting them down, and it's also the company itself that shot themselves in the foot as well. And I'm the interesting part with the article, with Rooster Teeth, it was unprofitable after multiple attempts to sell the unprofitable fandom, gaming, and comedy entertainment division. And the general manager announced the shutdown through a memo.
So nobody wanted to buy the company that was unprofitable. Yeah, that sounds like a issue.
Yeah.
Maybe they could have solved that by being profitable.
Yeah.
But they probably couldn't because they lost all of their great talent.
Yep.
For various reasons.
Yeah, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. That's a rabbit hole.
Some of them, good riddance. Seriously.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The rest of them just moved on with their lives and went on to other things.
Yeah. Although, so with their memo, they said that Rooster Teeth is currently not in the Rooster Team, which is their podcast network. They'll continue operating. They're in the coming days and months, they'll have many questions to answer and the opportunity to work together to implement the best way to wind things down. Thank you all in advance for your patience and support for one another. It's a long memo. I don't want to go through that memo. It'll be on the show notes.
Yeah, I'm glad the podcasts are sticking around because the only thing I really consume from them at the moment is Red Web.
Oh yeah, okay. I used to love listening to their Rooster Teeth podcast before they went down, and I used to also listen to a bit of Off Topic as well before they went down.
Anyway, back to the topic of executives screwing things up.
Yeah.
I think the solution is simple. Support your local indies. Sure, they can make good things sometimes, like June. Go and see June. It's amazing.
You saw that.
I did, and it's amazing. But not everything is going to be June level of quality. And even then, that's only a 9 out of 10.
Okay, I may sound a bit of a contrarian on this one. I agree with you there in terms of go indie and not everything has to be June level. What I'm afraid of is when the indie people start getting rich, is the money going to get to their head like every other entertainment company and whatnot?
Yeah, and that's where you move on to the new indies.
And even though the new indies might not be like June, for example, at least they tried their they put in effort. They tried it without the use of metrics or committees or executives interfering with it.
You'll find a lot of really interesting stuff coming from indies.
Yeah,
because it doesn't have to go for the lowest common denominator.
Yeah,
Sure, if they want to maximize the amount of money, then it will. But if they want to just make art for the sake of art, they'll make something really special.
And it's not only the lowest common denominator. It's also the fact that they want to aim at a certain demographic on one end, but ignoring the bigger demographic on the other end. You know, like family movies, trying to recreate the family movies, make it low live action, for example.
So support your local indies, support their growth, and they'll grow into something really special. Like a baby.
Oh, very nice segue there. I could use the soundboard, but the soundboard's not working, so I'm just using the clap.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So new research indicates by an Australian university, it indicates that toddlers watching more television, miss opportunities to learn new words, because it turns out that talking to adults is how they pick up new words. They don't pick it up from watching TV for some reason. So for 3-year-olds in the study, they showed 1 minute of screen time would mean that a child was hearing 7 fewer adult words, speaking 5 fewer words themselves, and engaging in 1 less conversation each day.
I mean, that is a bit of a shock.
It is. Like, does that mean educational television isn't really educational for this age range?
The bigger question would be: does that mean I'll have to stop toddlers from watching Peppa Pig and Bluey?
Let's be honest, no one's going to let you around toddlers.
But okay. In all seriousness, though, does that mean we're going to have to tell kids like, okay, kids, don't watch Bluey and don't watch Peppa Pig?
Yeah, apparently, talk to your kid. Because watching TV doesn't give them the same interaction.
Yeah, but the problem... Okay, here's the problem with when it comes to talking kids. Like, do you actually... Like, would you want to, like, talk to your dad? Like, let's be real. Like, do you want... Would you like to talk to your dad? And talk to him?
My dad sometimes.
Sometimes. Not all the time, right? Like, just sometimes.
I'm also not 2 years old trying to learn a language.
No, but my point is, like, the whole... Like, it's just the whole idea of, like, do I really want to talk to my dad? It sounds awkward, you know? There's that awkwardness.
Why are you talking about this like you're the one watching TV to get out of talking to your family? We're talking about children here.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. My point is, like, nobody wants to talk to people nowadays. It's just they'd rather be peace and quiet.
Yeah, but that's different to having children at home and engaging with your child.
Yeah.
What they do note is that educational apps apparently do help children learn, but they also recommend that you just don't let the kids spend that much time in front of a screen anyway, because they do their best learning away from screens.
And the problem with like children looking at the screens is because parents are working too hard now. Like, the times at the office, it's longer and longer nowadays.
That's true. People are working more.
Yeah, and with the current dreaded I word, inflation. It's going to be, the working hours are going to be longer and longer, and screen usage is going to be a bigger problem than what we feared initially.
Yeah, that's a possibility. This all reminds me of a short story called The Machine Stops, where basically everyone lives in these pods where every need is catered to, and they don't bother actually going outside or traveling to see other people. They even get to the point of development where instead of going and looking for primary sources, they consider things more accurate to go through secondary sources. And the more the secondary source has been analyzed, you then analyze the ternary source, and so on.
Why does this sound like an like something out of WALL-E?
Because it basically is, but prior to WALL-E.
Jesus. But okay, but back to the screen times and screen times with children. The other problem you also have to consider is the ease of technology. It's far too easy nowadays to just quickly, all of a sudden go to your nearest Alexa or go to your nearest TV or go to your nearest iPhone. It's just too easy.
My friends actually have a nearly 3-year-old, I think. And the other night they sent us a video of him getting ready for bed where he tries to say, "Hey, assistant," I'm not going to say the name of it because I don't want to set off anyone who's listening on a speaker. Because they have smart bulbs. So when they walk into the room, they say, "Hey, assistant, turn on the light in child room," which is really cool and kind of a bit adorable that a 3-year-old's like, "Hey, assistant."
Oh, boy.
But at the same time, this is talking about an older age range than the article. But at the same time, kids aren't learning how to operate computers. They're learning how to operate these slick, polished UIs. There are students going into higher education to learn programming who don't know how to create a new file. They don't understand what a file tree even is because you don't have them on your iPad.
Oh, boy. That transition is going to be hard.
Yeah. So are we getting to the point where a generation is going to be born who don't actually know how to create and maintain the technology that they live with? It's an interesting concept for a sci-fi story. Actually, it's basically Warhammer 40K, where nobody knows how the technology works. They just worship it.
So the all-encompassing Intel motherboard will be the God Emperor.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about how in 40K, instead of actually being mechanics, they have priests whose job it is to bless the machine, and they have rituals where they do the maintenance and repairs. But they don't actually know what any of it means. It's all a bit of a cargo cult.
The techno priests. The other problem also, is that books have become very, very hard to come by.
I don't think so. It's easier than ever to get books. And you're not the first person to make that observation because people have been complaining about the kids these days, basically as long as there have been kids these days. I'm not joking. There's quotes from Aristotle, I think, where he's like, "Kids these days, they don't bother memorizing anything. They just write it down."
Is that actually a thing? Oh, I gotta find that out now. Oh, here we go. Here's the quote. So the quote from Aristotle: "The kids now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in places of exercise. Kids are now tyrants, not the servants of the household. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before the company, gobble up dainties at the table, cross their legs, and tyrannize their teachers." Oh, that's Socrates, damn it. God, we sound like old people now.
That, yes. That was a Socrates speech. I'm trying to remember who it was. But one of these philosophical types has a quote that's like, "Yeah, kids these days don't bother learning anything. They just write it down." And then his student is the only reason we actually know anything that he wrote, because his student wrote it down.
The terrifying thing, though, is going to be how AI is going to teach. With the rise of AI now, and I know we've been bashing on AI a lot in these last few episodes, but it's becoming a prevalent problem in terms of, can you imagine AI now teaching your kids? I mean, screw the school teacher I'm teaching your kids at school. Come to Mama AI or Teacher AI.
Yeah, that's not going to end well with the current development of AI.
But it's going to be a big issue. And the other and the issue with AI being its teacher is going to be which accurate information is AI going to feed the kids, essentially.
Well, that's already a problem in America. Like, I think it's Florida that brought in a law that basically says you must teach that slavery was okay because the slaves learned useful skills.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But we should move on from being two childless nerds talking about child rearing. On to our shout-outs for this week. On the 6th of March, we had the 15th anniversary of Watchmen the movie, based on the DC Comics series by Alan Moore. The movie was directed by Zack Snyder from a screenplay by David Hayter and Alex C, and is set during an alternative 1985 where retired superheroes are investigating a murder of one of their own before uncovering a deadly conspiracy. It took them nearly two decades from October 1987 to October 2005 while the film was in development hell before it was finally produced.
And I will warn you, if anyone hasn't seen the movie, that it has a lot of slow motion.
And on the 8th of March, we passed the 10th anniversary of the disappearance of MH370, a Malaysian Airlines flight traveling from Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia to Beijing in China. Last communicated with air traffic control about 38 minutes after takeoff while flying over the South China Sea, then disappeared from radar. It was tracked by the military radar traveling away from its planned flight path until it left radar range 200 nautical miles northwest of Penang Island. All passengers and crew are presumed dead, meaning this is the deadliest incident involving a Boeing 777 and the deadliest in Malaysia Airlines history until surpassed in both regards by Malaysia Airlines Flight 17, shot down flying over Ukraine 4 months later on the 17th of July 2014.
I'll tell you what, man, that incident was interesting in terms of how many conspiracy theories that came out of that disappearance.
I remember seeing a comment on Reddit, which I really desperately hope was a troll. Somebody said, hey, is it possible that the plane just sort of kept going up and flew off into space?
Are you serious?
I am serious.
I had a bit of a theory that that the plane passengers were going through an adventure similar to, you remember the movie The Life of Pi?
Yeah. So you reckon everyone survived the crash landing into the ocean and floated around on a boat for a while?
Yeah, and then they somehow went into the island and they managed to, yeah, and then they're never seen ever again kind of thing. And yes, I was an optimist.
The Life of Pi ends with him turning up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was a bit of an optimist in terms of, yes, everyone survived. Yes, no one has died.
Unfortunately, it looks like the pilot committed suicide and flew the plane into the ocean.
Yeah, there was a I saw a Four Corners report about that, actually. Like, he was training. He had, like, a flight simulator set up in his room.
Yeah. Apparently, on his home flight simulator, he'd flown a practice flight of the path that he took that night. And it's obvious that the plane was lost at sea because parts of it have floated up onto islands.
And the search operation for that one, that in itself was interesting as well in terms of, how many nations are going to be involved in this? And like there was Australia, there was China, India wanted to get involved in this as well, America wanted to get involved in this as well.
Yeah, those first couple of days, so desperately hoping that something would turn up.
Yeah, yeah. But
it ended up being the most expensive search in the history of aviation.
Yep.
On to our messed up moment in nerdom for this week. DJ, tell us about Batman being horrible.
So this is messed up moments in nerdom number 6. Okay, so you know Frank Miller's Batman, right?
I don't.
Okay, so Frank Miller's Batman in this version is Bruce Wayne. He calls Robin a retard. He made him live in a bat cave eating rats to survive. and he doesn't hesitate to murder criminals that he squared off with.
Which okay, is all around not a very cool dude.
So in this one, so when he came across, so he came across some crooks stealing bleach of all things, and Batman ended up pouring it all over them and setting them alight. And that alone is bad, but here is the messed up part. Okay,
so no, that's pretty messed up.
Oh no, that's okay. No. It gets more messed up. Okay, that you may think this is messed up, but there is a much more messed up part in this. Okay. So the more messed up part is, so he gets confronted by Black Canary, and the two of them ended up playing hacky sack on the rooftop.
Well, that's just nice and wholesome.
I'm saying it in the most nicest way possible without getting more...
I don't think that's a euphemism I've ever heard before.
Okay, so while they're playing After Dark hacky sack, the criminals were burning in the background, and it is heavily implied that Batman's endurance in that respect does not go more than a few seconds, as the Canary goes all over him with disappointment and disgust only seconds later.
Well, do you remember Warner Brothers saying that Batman doesn't engage in oral sex?
Oh, no, I haven't heard that one.
Sorry, it was DC, not Warner Brothers.
Well, DC is part of Warner Brothers, mind you, so...
So, according to Snopes, the article is listed as research in progress, so they haven't actually confirmed or denied it.
Although, mind you, this is the same DC that not too long ago had Batman's private part shown out in one of the comic panels. So, yeah, and this was to...
I hope my parents aren't listening to this episode.
And this was to promote their, what was it? It was called DC Black Label, which was Marvel's version of Marvel Max, which had all the profanities and the swearing and the gratuitous violence. So yeah, that's the messed up moments in nerddom.
Well, on to our wacky movie. On the 6th of March 2000, Mission to Mars premiered in the US. Directed by Brian De Palma, it starred Gary Sinise, Tim Robbins, and Don Cheadle. Don't ever try to talk to Don Cheadle about maths. No way, not Don Cheadle. Terrence Howard.
Oh.
Never mind. I'm thinking of the entirely wrong War Machine actor. But since we're going down this rabbit hole, do talk to Terrence Howard about maths. Because he's got his own conspiracy theory that 1 times 1 equals 2.
I remember that. I was going, what?
Anyway, Mission to Mars. When the first manned mission to Mars meets with a catastrophic and mysterious disaster after reporting an unidentified structure, a rescue mission is launched to investigate the tragedy and bring back any survivors. And the film was so great, it was awarded a Razzie for Worst Director. And it was expensive. They created a Martian landscape in a sandpit near Vancouver, around 2 million square feet, being one of the biggest sets ever constructed for a movie. They used 14,000 gallons of paint to spray the soil Mars red. None of these measurements are metric, but I'm getting the good impression of how bloody big it is. Each spacesuit cost $100,000 to make. Comparatively, a NASA spacesuit cost $10 to $12 million.
Okay, but before you go on with the next bit of trivia, so if we're using metrics, that's 14,000 US liquid gallon. That's equal to 52,995.765 liters of paint.
Just a couple. The movie also features a reference to Alan Shepard's first flight when Woody Blake says, "Let's light this candle." Alan Shepard said that just before liftoff on his first Mercury flight. And the movie has a hidden Mickey. As the Mars recovery vehicle approaches the planet, Mars, the circular hub of the spaceship, and a round satellite dish sitting on its spine line up to form the Mickey Mouse logo.
What a subtle way of brand placement.
Oh, they're all over the place. It's like the Wilhelm scream.
Oh, dang.
Anyway, that's all we have for this week. Where can they find us, DJ?
They can find us on Nerds Amalgamated Twitter. They can also find us on Instagram, thatsnotcanon.com, where we have an archive of our old episodes. YouTube, where we post our nerdy bits, on our Facebook, and
any considering other our earlier discussion, just to be clear, it's not that kind of nerdy bit.
But yeah, and any other social media, you will see our logo, you'll see us in.
All right. Look after yourself, stay hydrated, and we'll see you next week.
Stay happy, stay nerdy. I am out of here, and I'm going to watch Dragon Ball Z. And let's light this candle! Here we go!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.